Let us pray. Grant us, Lord, not to be anxious about earthly things, but to love things heavenly. And even now, as we live among things that are passing away, to hold fast to those that shall endure. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. And all God's people said,
Amen.
A man stopped at a gas station, and after filling up his car, he paid and bought a soft drink. He stood by his car to drink it, and he watched a couple of men working alongside the road. One man would dig a hole 2 or 3 feet deep and then move on. And then the other man came along behind him and filled in the hole. While one was digging a new hole, the other was about 25 feet behind, filling in the old one. The men worked right past the guy drinking his soda and went down the road. I can't stand this, said the man, tossing his drink into the trash can. He then headed down the road toward the men. Hold on, he said to them. Can you explain to me what's going on here with this digging? Well, we work for the government, one of them said. But one of you is digging a hole and the other fills it up. You're not accomplishing anything. Aren't you wasting taxpayer money? You don't understand, mister, one of the men said, leaning on his shovel and wiping the sweat off his brow. Normally, there's 3 of us, me, Sam, and Jesse. I dig the hole, Sam sticks in the tree, and Jesse here puts the dirt back. Just because Sam's sick, that doesn't mean Jesse and I can't work. My friends, the preacher of Ecclesiastes says life is vapor and mist. In other words, it's vanity, like how the government spends our money. So what's the purpose of life then? What's the meaning of it all? As we looked at last week, life under the sun is about knowing God and fearing God and loving God and keeping his commandments. But the reality is that most folks don't live their lives in this way. Indeed, a lot of Christians appear ignorant about why we are here and what we are supposed to do. And if we look at Christians and non-Christians and how they spend their time, we don't see a big difference at all. In our culture, people work so that they can rest. But the rest they pursue and they seek after never truly satisfies. A brief moment of pleasure, then restlessness resumes. So people jump from one thing to the next to attempt to get more out of life, and they never end up quite fulfilled. They end up still hungry and thirsty for something more. We know this not just through our own personal experience, but also because the preacher has tested the pursuit of pleasure. In other words, he did an experiment, and the results prove that a life in pursuit of pleasure is null and void. One of my favorite collaborative musical efforts was when Johnny Cash teamed up with the band U2. And they performed a song called The Wanderer, where the protagonist says, I went out there in search of experience to take and touch and to feel as much as a man can before he repents. And that's kind of like what the preacher relates to us in our passage this morning. He has experienced pleasure to the fullest that a human being can pursue it. And he says it's all vanity, like chasing the wind. A brief moment of pleasure, only to find that the God-shaped hole in our hearts cannot be filled by any earthly thing. There is only one that can fill the hole in our hearts. There is only one who can give us true fulfillment and shalom. He doesn't just offer us a brief moment of pleasure. Jesus offers us everlasting joy. Joy on tap forever. This morning, let us see that though the pleasures and the delights of this world are many, they all fall ultimately short of fulfilling our lives under the sun. For God has written eternity in our hearts, and as St. Augustine rightly noted, our hearts are restless until they rest in God alone. So if you'd like to follow along, we'll be beginning in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 1. Now, like a lot of people today, the preacher lives for himself. This is how he spends his time under the sun. We see a king consumed with his own self-interest. It's me, myself, and I throughout this entire passage. I said in my heart is the theme. But he does learn from his experiment that the delights of this world are only temporary, only a brief moment of pleasure. For as Gregory of Nyssa put it, even activity that is enjoyable disappears when it is accomplished. In the end, there is not lasting satisfaction. So the preacher tries out laughter, just like many in our day do. There's always a quick fix for chuckles and giggles, especially now with the accessibility of our technological gadgets. You can pull up John Crist or SNL with the touch of a screen. But when the preacher speaks of laughter as madness, as loco, he's not talking about mental illness. No, he's talking about moral perversity. Coarse and sarcastic humor that is at someone else's expense. All vanity. What use is it? People pursue this type of pleasure under the sun, but it does not bring lasting joy and peace. It does not bring fulfillment. It does not bring wholeness. It is only a brief moment of pleasure. So then unfulfilled, the preacher tries his hand at alcohol. He says, I searched with my heart how to cheer my body with wine. And this is still a strong temptation in our day. Life is short, so people want to enjoy and chase after the delights of alcohol. But while some scholars think that the preacher king was committing substance abuse, I do not think that is the case at all here. For if the preacher king is indeed King Solomon, then this would be inconsistent with what he wrote in Proverbs 21, which says, wine is a mocker, strong drink is a brawler, and whoever is led astray by it is not wise. So what then are we to make of the wise old sage's words then? Solomon was a connoisseur, my friends. He had the wealth to sample all the distinct types of wine imaginable. Ponder then him savoring different wines at a time when most folks could not partake of a variety of grapes. What we take for granted today if we visit a vineyard or a winery, tasting Merlots and Cabernets and Malbecs and Zinfandels and Pinot Noirs and more, was non-existent in Solomon's time. But he seized whatever he grasped, developing a palate that would bring greater pleasure. It's not just that he tried wine to gladden his heart. He tried all the wines, all of them, and all the varieties and types for his experiment. Yet in the end, for all of his wine sampling, all of his wine tasting under the sun, vanity. Only a brief moment of pleasure. No lasting joy. But then we see the preacher king indulging in a lavish lifestyle. He didn't just build a beautiful home, he built homes, as in plural. He didn't just plant a beautiful vineyard, he planted vineyards, as in plural, probably to sample all that wine we just talked about. He made gardens and parks, filling them with all kinds of fruit trees. And he builds reservoirs for irrigation. Now we have to stop here for a second because the preacher king is building a paradise for himself. A paradise that resembles the imagery of Eden in Genesis. But as Tolkien reminds us in his philosophy of subcreation, human beings cannot create. We can only subcreate because we are made in the image of the Creator. If the preacher king is indeed Solomon, which I believe him to be, then Solomon attempts to make a garden paradise for himself. It's filled with a lot of stuff. But he doesn't mention it as a place where he walks in communion with the Lord Almighty. Any Eden without the Lord is no Eden. Just like Narnia without Aslan is not Narnia. So do you see how restless the man is? Do you see how restless he is? He runs after pleasure thinking this might be the meaning of it all. This might be the purpose for our time under the sun. But a man-made paradise does not complete and satisfy the cry for eternity in our hearts. So the preacher king keeps on indulging. He buys slaves, and he acquires herds and flocks. He accumulates silver and gold and the treasures of many kings and provinces. And he even has singers, musicians to entertain him at any moment's notice. Choirs are paid to indulge his whims. And of course, the preacher king had many, many beautiful women. He had everything a man could desire in this world. He had fame and was greater than any king before him in Jerusalem. And the one positive thing, the only positive thing in our passage this morning, is that he found joy in his work. But that joy was short-lived. It fizzled out. For when he looked at everything he had worked so hard to accomplish, he was left unfulfilled. He had it all by the world's standards, but in truth he had nothing. It was all vanity, a brief moment of pleasure. So my brothers and sisters, if we take the experience of this preacher king to heart, it leads us to the wisdom of the greater preacher king, Jesus the Messiah. As the title of one of Bach's great masterpieces put it, Jesus is the joy of our desiring. And the joy Jesus gives does not last a mere moment. It is an eternal joy that begins in this life and it transcends into eternity. Our time here under the sun is meant to know, love, and follow Jesus and enter into the fullness of joy. For the joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen? Amen. And this joy comes by our union with the one who came not to model self-indulgence, but came to model selflessness, who gave up his life on the hard wood of the cross. Because Jesus came to serve and not to be served. And that service led him all the way to Calvary. The preacher king of Ecclesiastes was all about me, myself, and I. But in Jesus, we see that he was about the glory of God and the sake of others. You see, the Lord is the preacher king we are not only to imitate in our time here on earth, but he is the only pleasure, the only delight, the only joy that truly nourishes and satisfies us. In other words, Jesus brings shalom. He brings fulfillment. He brings wholeness. If only, only we would let him fill the God-shaped hole in our hearts. Our Western American culture is so very, very restless. It jumps and consumes one thing to the next. Houses, cars, entertainment, clothing, gadgets, and more. People never, ever, ever seem to have enough, do they? We are insatiable because what we consume does not fulfill the void. A brief moment of pleasure, then restlessness resumes, and we go on to the next thing, thinking that perhaps this will bring fulfillment. Perhaps this will bring peace. But the stuff of earth cannot satisfy our longings. C.S. Lewis wrote, "Most people, if they had really learned to look into their own hearts, would know that what they do want and want acutely is something that cannot be had in this world. There are all sorts of things in this world that offer to give it to you, but they never quite keep their promise." Life under the sun is meant for us to delight in the Lord our God, to know God the Father and Jesus Christ, whom he sent, to taste, to see, to experience the life that Jesus gives. Jesus is life giver. Have you ever pondered the 7 I am statements of John's gospel? They're all about Jesus giving life. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And I am the true vine. Bread provides sustenance. The light of the sun energizes all life processes on earth. A door provides safety and protection. A shepherd guides the flock to green pastures and streams of living water and protects against the wolves. And at the resurrection, the dead shall be raised, and those in Christ will enter a whole new creation. And knowing and taking the right direction leads to personal revelation of the one who is truth incarnate. There is only one way to the Father. Only one. And the imagery of the vine and the branches tells us that we are meant to live in union with our Lord. Union with Jesus, the life giver. These statements from John reveal that only Jesus can fulfill you and me. Only he can satisfy the deep longings of our heart. He is our final rest. We don't have to wander from one thing to the next with our insatiable appetites and desires, because in Jesus they are quenched and they are relieved. Amen? You guys don't sound excited. Perhaps you need to taste from the fount of joy once more. Amen? But what does this all look like in real time and space, my friends? We all know what it looks like to live for a brief moment of pleasure, to live for me, myself, and I. But what does it look like to possess the joy of our desiring in this life under the sun? As today is All Saints Sunday, I offer two living saints as examples. The first is my friend, David Roseberry, who has been a priest for over 40 years. He was rector of a prominent Anglican church in North Texas for most of his ministry. But when he retired from parish ministry, that's when the fun really began. He had led mission initiatives when he retired all over the country. And he's helped parishes all over North America develop in generosity. And he trained me to lead pilgrimages to Israel. Now, I remember sitting in a little bar at the American Colony in Jerusalem with him, and he was sharing the changes of transitioning into retirement. And I told him that his best years were ahead of him. His best years. He and his wife, Fran, are doing some incredible ministry all over the world. It's phenomenal. Now, David could have put his feet up after he left parish ministry. He could have indulged himself in many of the things countless others do when they retire in our Western culture. But Jesus is the joy of David's heart. He knows that life under the sun is all about Jesus, even the time of retirement. David would never trade Jesus for a brief moment of pleasure. How about another saint? Father Desmond Gunasekara, the Billy Graham of Sri Lanka. Now well into his 70s, Desmond spends half his year in Sri Lanka preaching, evangelizing, discipling, mentoring, healing the sick, casting out demons, assisting the poor, and more. He could be spending his time with grandchildren here in the States in comfort, but his love for Jesus compels him to go, to give, to sacrifice, to be selfless. You see, Desmond would never live for a brief moment of pleasure because he has discovered the pearl of great price. He knows and loves and follows King Jesus. And he will do so until his dying breath. For he knows that life under the sun is all about Jesus Christ. He presses on to finish the race, to seize the prize. And like David, the joy of Desmond's desiring is none other than our Lord. He has union with the one who is the fullness of joy. He has tasted, he has experienced the joy of Jesus. And once you truly drink from that well, once you truly drink from Jesus, you know fulfillment and peace and wholeness. No brief moment of pleasure could ever compete with the lasting joy of knowing Jesus Christ and following his example of a selfless life. So, my brothers and sisters, true and lasting joy comes not from the world, but from having union with our Lord. And in our Eucharistic liturgy, we see and we hear about the importance of this union. Life under the sun is about Jesus living in us and we living in him. For as Anglican Bishop Lancelot Andrews loved to remind folks, we participate in the life of God. Say that with me. We participate in the life of God. Excellent. And that participation is not some far off and distant thing. It's present and it's real now in this life. So you see, so many Christians are ignorant of what life is really about. They live as if their lives are all about them. Me, myself, and I. And that is not the way of Christ. That is the way of the world. They are self-absorbed and they are self-consumed. And they are never satisfied, for they drink from other wells that cannot quench our deep thirst. My friends, the joy of Jesus, however, is eternal. And he has such delights for you and I that we cannot even imagine. St. John Chrysostom said this, "Love God with genuine affection, not from fear of hell, but from desire of the kingdom. For what is comparable to seeing Christ? Surely nothing. What is comparable to the enjoyment of those good things? Surely nothing. Well, may there be nothing comparable, for eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him." Taste and see now in our time, in our day, under the sun, the true and the lasting joy. Do not squander Jesus and the life that he offers for a brief moment of pleasure. Let us pray. Soul of Jesus, sanctify us. Body of Jesus, save us. Blood of Jesus, inebriate us. Water from the side of Jesus, wash us. Passion of Jesus, strengthen us. O good Jesus, hear us, and within your wounds, hide us. Permit us not to be separated from you. From the wicked foe, defend us. In the hour of our deaths, call us and bid us come to you, that with all your saints we may praise you forever and ever. Amen.